الشيطان ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We want to apologize for starting far behind schedule. Actually, this is supposed to be a broadcast on Deen Academy platform, but due to some technical challenges, we could not broadcast directly from the channel. So we're broadcasting from here, inshallah, and we'll be sharing from that platform, bi'idhnillah. May Allah make it easy. Inshallah, we have on the platform here Fadilatul Shaykh Al-Imam Sa'id Hamza Abu Lubaba, Hafizahullah wa Ra'ah, the founder and the director of Islamic Ibn Hamza Islamic Center. It is a very, very popular center for learning the deen and for other activities that are Islamic generally. We are still going to talk about Ibn Hamza Islamic Center, inshallah, towards the end of the broadcast, bi'iznillah. I want to say Jazakumullah khairan for appearing on our platform today. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly. Ramadan is fast approaching, and we know that one of the means of preparing for Ramadan is actually to gather necessary knowledge, you know, to learn the deen and to know the rulings concerning fasting in the month of Ramadan, when to begin Ramadan, when to end Ramadan. That is why we have put this program together under the platform of Deen Academy. Our Sheikh, inshallah, is here to answer our various questions we may have when it comes to issue of Ramadan. So we're going to have in the comment section there, we can start dropping our questions there. I'm going to drop a number as well through which we can, on which we can drop our questions as well, maybe WhatsApp, and those who can drop their questions via the comment section should do the same thing. Inshallah, our Sheikh is very much ready here to answer all our questions. Bi-iznillah. So before I proceed, I want our Sheikh to quickly tell us, as Ramadan is approaching now, before we start reading the questions we have here, I have about 12 or 13 questions already sent to me. So before we start going into those questions, this is Ramadan. Sha'ban is actually going to an end gradually. So when do we think Ramadan is really going to start? Ramadan 1447 AH and then 2026 in the month of February. Jazakumullah khairan.
Nama alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbatihi wa walah. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to be alive and to be on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to grant everyone of us our inner desires and grant our request. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity given to me by the director and the founder of Adeen Academy, Fadilatu Sheikh Yusuf Ariubi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to be with him and with everyone that is under him, and grant him more knowledge and favor in this part of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and my viewers at home and wherever we are able to watch us. I also appreciate your presence to share with us, to rub minds together on the issue related to the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve every one of us to witness the month of Ramadan and to leave behind. As for the question asked on how do we establish the commencement of the month of Ramadan? The month of Ramadan, as you all know, is a blessed month, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will always inform the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever the month of Ramadan enter, it will say قَدْ جَعَكُمْ شَهَرٌ مُبَارَكُ, it has entered to you, it has come to you, the blessed month, the month of blessings. May Allah make this coming Ramadan to be blessings for every one of us, and to be a source of blessings and glory for every one of us.
Ameen.
We as Muslims, as the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us in expecting or commenting the month of Ramadan, one thing needs to be considered, and that is the sighting of the moon. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Quran chapter 2, verse 188, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمْ أَشْهَرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. Whoever that the crescent of the month of Ramadan is sighted while he or she is still alive, healthy, and not a traveler, so the person should fast in the month of Ramadan. So that shows that the crescent of the month of the Ramadan needs to be sighted first before we can say that we can commence the fasting in the month of Ramadan, or to say, or to welcome the month of Ramadan. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was also reported to have said in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, that he said, Asumu li ru'yatihi waftiru li ru'yatihi. In another narration, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْهِلَالِ. So when you observe the appearance of the month, the crescent of the month of Ramadan, then you fast. You begin the fast in the month of Ramadan. Then he said, صُومُ لِرُوحِيَتِهِ. Fast when the moon is sighted, the moon of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is cited. Well, after really reality, and you break the fast to celebrate the Eid al-Fitr when the moon is also cited as well. When يُقضي عليكم فأكملوا الشهر أو شعبان ثلاثين يوما. If there's ambiguity, the sky is not clear, the weather is not clear. Yes, it's blood that you cannot sight the moon. Then you count the month of Shaban to be 30 for you to commence the month of Ramadan. So that shows that it is established in Islam that two things need to be considered in commencement of the month of Ramadan. And the first one has to be the foundation, and the second one has to be the replacement when the foundation is nowhere to be observed. And the scholar will say, yes, but to دخول رمضان يثبت دخول رمضان برؤية الهلال أصلا وبإكمال شعبان ثلاثين يوما بدلا. That is, the month of Ramadan is established when the moon is sighted. When the moon is sighted, we begin. And if the moon is not able to be sighted, then we complete the Shaban to be 30. That is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordained, has delivered to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it that we begin with the sighting of the moon when Shaban is 29 and the moon is sighted, so that means the following day will be the first of Ramadan. And if the moon is not sighted, then the following day will still be counted to be part of the month of Shaban. Then we begin in the following day after the completion of the 30 days of Shaban. That is what we have in Islam. Naam.
Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh Ana. He had been able to explain to us how Ramadan should begin actually in the Sunnah, in the religion of Allah. May Allah make it easy. That means those people who put, we have calendars, for example, that say Ramadan will begin on the 18th, which is Wednesday next week, and some calendars say 19th. So we have to throw away all those reports. They are not reliable.
Yes, they are not. They are not reliable when it comes to the issue of acts of worship. If it has to do with mundane activities, our daily activities, no problem. You can fix a date yourself to say, look, no, on this social date, I want to do this, I want to do that. No problem with that. We are accustomed to that. But when it comes to the act of worship, then we need to follow the proper legislation given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, there's nothing wrong for someone to say that, okay, on the 18th or on the 17th, I want to do this. But when it comes to the act of worship, as we said, especially the commencement of Ramadan, then all hands must be on desk. That is, we need to sight the moon. Sighting the moon should be given the priority over picking a date or picking this. We don't do that in Islam. And, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also should have been the first person to have picked a date. If that had been the way of life for us to determine when to begin any act of worship or when to terminate it. We can see whether it's Hajj, either it's 5 daily prayers or that what has to do with the commencement of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only bring to us the report on how to go about them. He did every aspect of them. He put everything into practice. You know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got to the city of Medina, the second year when he got there, it was the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated the obligation of the fasting in the month of Ramadan. And that means he fasted for nine years. That is, he fasted 9 Ramadans. So someone that fasted 9 Ramadans, that means there's nothing that we can be a point of argument at this moment.
Exactly.
Yes, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has put everything into practice for us. So in Sahih Muslim, Abdullah ibn Abbas, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards the end of Shaban, he asked them to sight the moon. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Umar said, "Tara anas al-hilal." People went in searching for the new moon of the month of Ramadan. Fara'aytuhu, but I saw it. Thumma ra'aytuhu, I saw it. I sighted it. Fa'akbartu nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nira'aytuhu, I informed the Prophet that I sighted it. Wa sama, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began the fasting in the month of Ramadan, wa amara an nasa bi siyamihi, and he also compelled the Muslim community also to begin their fasting. So it shows that picking a date should be something of new in this religion, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did it. That is one. And if at all we pick a date, that shouldn't be our primary focus. Our primary focus should be what? Sighting of the moon. If the date we pick is in line with the sighting of the moon, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But if the date we pick is not in line with the sighting of the moon, that means we throw away the day that we pick, we go for the sighting of the moon. Then why do we need to pick a date?
So even pick date.
Yes. Why do
so
we need? Yes. We know that we are going to sight the moon, and those who pick the date, they shoot themselves in the leg by not picking a day for the commencement of a Hajj ride.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they will say even
that would be difficult for them.
Yes. Even in our local area, they will say no. When it has come to the issue of Hajj,
uh-huh,
so we don't touch that. We would leave everything to Saudi authority. And by which we know that the Saudi authority, they will never pick a date for the commencement of Hajj.
Mm.
They will sight the moon. And if the moon of the Hijjah is sighted, then the denied date will be the Arafat date will be decided.
Mashallah.
So they will never do that now. Do not do that now. So picking a date for the commencement of any act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon every one of us is out of it. Even the 5 daily prayers. The 5 daily prayer, the time that we observe the 5 daily prayers are not determined by the conventional clock, rather by what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stipulated on that. It is by the result we get by using that natural path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is what we can now transfer to the conventional clock.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it now that no time of Salat changes.
Exactly.
Look at the time we observe Salat al Fajr. Actually, I'm saying
that
yes.
By Ramadan,
in fact, I'm so shocked when when some of our local mosque too, they observe their Salat at 6 o'clock.
MashaAllah.
We tell you when you observe your Salat al Fajr at 5:30, you go to sleep. You wake up at the same time you sleep it that late. So nobody will tell you. So that shows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full control of everything.
Mashallah.
It changes the time as it reaches. Okay. So whatever the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to begin the fast of the month of Ramadan, the sighting of the moon will determine that. And if the moon is sighted, then it is the authority that will now make the pronouncement, public pronouncement for the people to begin their fasting.
Mashallah.
It is not what everybody can say, no. Don't do the fast and all. No, that has no basis in Islam.
Mm.
One, then two, it is one of the sources of these unities in this Ummah.
Mm.
You know, like in Nigeria here, we have only one authority that federal government has been assigned for many years to be to hold the leadership of Islam. So that authority, if the authority announces the sighting of the moon, then every Nigerian Muslim will begin the fast. And you can see that will call for unity. But when we have some people that will say, no, we don't want to follow him, or we don't believe in him, or because, you know, our own calculation is this, our calculation is that.
Mm.
You can only control people behind you.
Mashallah.
You cannot control the whole Nigerian Muslims.
Exactly.
And once I can do that, it is the turn of the Muslim. So those who pick a date for the commencement of Ramadan, and surprisingly, they've already picked the date for the termination of Ramadan. That means there's no any way they are aligned. They are aligned with what?
With
Sunnah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Sumu li ru'yatihim." Fast when the moon is sighted. Wa afiru li ru'yatihim. Then you break the fast when the moon is sighted.
Okay.
So the Sultan will come out to say, okay, the moon is sighted or the moon is not sighted. Yes, that means we still relying on the Sunnah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if they make mistake or they lie, it's left to them.
No,
but what absolutely. What they tell us is that they sighted
the moon. So it's not on us.
It is not on us. So and it is not a new thing. Even if they do not the moon, that there's error in that. For the first 3 days, the moon is
complete.
It is error. So it is complete. The it happens by the law that when it declares the moon of the moon. And for the A-Fitri, and pay off the day in position for the
Mashab
69. So that's what it is.
The only key is that from the path of the authority, the father is very good at this discussion, how to be around. Just turning he has been dissecting the issues concerning Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him abundantly. Inshallah, let's quickly start taking the questions that have been sent earlier before now. Okay, so I'd like to begin from the man who said that children like from age 5, for example, age 6, like they like to fast, and they at times they feel pity for them when they are hungry. Can they force them to eat when they see weakness in those children?
Naam, alhamdulillah. What we need to understand is that, as you know, Islam is a religion that catches the young from the young.
That is Islam.
Yes, we teach our children Islamic manners and ethics from the beginning. In fact, ever before we had them, we have that plan of giving them the normal Islamic knowledge. So the children of age 5, yes, if they decide to join us to eat sahur or to go along with us in fasting, then we should not debar them. We should not prevent them from doing that.
Allah,
we are not the one forcing them to fast. So if they want to join us to read Sahur, we should allow them. Because some parents do mistake. You say, no, go and sit, go and sleep, you are still young. You don't need to do that. So allow them to come. When they come and they start the fast, at the end of the day, they want to break at 10 a.m. Allow them to break. Their own moon, their own sun has
it has set.
So you don't need to panic on that. No. So we allow them to do that. And we encourage them. Encourage our children. That is what, one of the ways that we can encourage them is that we reduce the labor that we put on them.
MashaAllah.
Reduce all those things. Even if it's not even age 5, even if it's age 11 or 15,
mm-hmm.
if you still have to their labor, their domestic labor, then it are not assisted.
Yeah, it's going to be a very big burden on them.
Yes. And this is a call also to the Muslim schools. The Muslim schools also.
MashaAllah.
So when Ramadan enters, they need to reschedule their timetable.
Allah.
That's why you call yourself Islamic school.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Islamic school. When you say Islamic school, that means this is a school that is in line with Islamic dictations.
Nah.
So you reduce the timetable, you reduce the classwork, you reduce the assignment, you reduce everything that is possible for you to reduce. That does not affect them. After all, you go on holiday for a month or three
yes,
months time.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A month, yes. The holiday.
So far we don't have the opportunity to close down the school for the month of Ramadan in respect to that month.
Yes.
In honoring that month, that does not mean that we need to overwork the children. We have some schools like that they would debar them from fasting.
Because of schoolwork.
That is wrong. What is the essence of having Islamic schools? Yes, is it not to imbibe in them the Islamic teachings?
Exactly.
Okay. So we need to reduce the labor, academic labor, extracurricular labor.
Mm.
We need to reduce, and even curriculum, we reduce it just for us to allow our children to fast. And we give them time to rest. So as we are doing that at home, reducing the domestic labor, then academic labor, so in schools too, we are doing that. We are encouraging them. And that is what formulated what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had given to us as part of the principle on how to upbring the child in order to overcome the stress of Ramadan. You know, the young girls will come to Aisha to play with Aisha, and Aisha will encourage them to fast.
Mashallah.
We will now give them toys to play with so that they will not feel that stress of fasting. That is it. That's how we can encourage our children. I've seen a child of 5 years that fasted the whole month of Ramadan.
Mashallah.
And when he had the celebration of Eid al-Fitr, the following day after the Eid, he began the Sittu Shawwal.
5 years.
Yes, 5 years.
Mashallah.
So we are
a long time.
We are not the ones to be teaching them. No, don't do this. Our children sometimes they prefer play to food.
Mm.
Not our children. Mm. Almost every child.
Exactly.
Every child is black. So if we give them starting things to play with they will get engaged with the fasting. So anything we know that we can use to assist them on that, then we should do that. Then anytime they want to break their fast, since they are not balig, they are not matured, they are not being compared by the Islam,
mm-hmm.
then we are not the one to force them to make up the fast to the time of Maghrib. We encourage them to do that. Yes, especially the summit age, that is around 6 to 7 years.
Yes.
We are not the one to force them.
Mm-hmm.
We force them to fast. We encourage them to fast. But if they don't want to complete it, we are not the one to say, no, you have to do that. You have to do that. We are not the one to force them to make it up. If they make it up, it's good. And there are things that we can do to assist them to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jazakumullah khairan. Oh, mashallah. A clarion call to all the parents and all schools, Muslim schools most especially, that we do not overwork our children, our students, our pupils at school in the month of Ramadan, so that they will have the strength, they can preserve their strength, energy to be able to complete every day of fasting. The stress of schooling, wallahi, it's very, very, it's overwhelming. A lot of activities at school, academic activities, extracurricular activities, All this we can reduce them to the barest minimum so that our children will be able to fast. It's an encouragement for them. I hope schools, they will take a lesson from this, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. I love that point. Let's take another question from this brother. It is a very sad situation for him, actually. So he narrated that his wife 2 years ago was pregnant. Then the wife was a sickle cell person. Okay, so like SS, those people they call SS. So she was pregnant, and then with the stress and the whole thing, she could not fast. Then last year Ramadan, okay, she was breastfeeding and it was overwhelming on her. She could not fast. Then I think she got sick after Ramadan, and she was taken to the hospital because of the nature of her distin. So she died eventually. She died eventually. And the brother really, you know, he mentioned a lot of good things about the sister, a well-practicing sister. May Allah forgive her and grant her al-Jannah. And I also pray for you, brother, if you're on the program currently, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give you the patience to bear the loss. And then make both of you to meet again in al-Jannah. Allah make it easy. So the question of the brother now is that, can he do fidya for those 2 years that she couldn't fast? She had intention of actually completing, I mean, to pay back. She had intention of paying back if she was well, but she died. So he was thinking, can he do fidya for the 2 years of Ramadan on her behalf?
نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله May Allah سبحانه وتعالى grant our sister the access to Jannah al-Firdaus.
Amen, amen.
May he make our endings too to be Islamic.
Amen.
On the question, anyone that has a legal reason for not fasting in Ramadan, whether a few days of Ramadan or the whole month of Ramadan, and the reason is still persistent, and the reason is still persistent in him or her till after the month of Ramadan, and the person is taken away, so the person passes away. So there's nothing to be done. No fidya and no the payment of, of fasting. Since the cause of leaving the month of Ramadan
now
still persisting, is still in the person, and the person had intention to pay back when he is free, is relieved from that sickness or is from that any source of any cause of not fasting that is legal. So that person is free.
Okay.
So if he dies after the month of Ramadan, and the cause, the sabbath is still there.
Okay.
So he has nothing to do, or she has nothing to do, or the relative have nothing to do after his death or after her death. It is only someone that the cause is no more there, he is free, that he or she needs to pay back.
Okay.
But she doesn't pay back until death overtakes him or her. Then it has become a compulsion on him or her to fast, and this is someone that has passed away. So they accorded the relative fast on his or on her behalf.
Okay, so the one that had the privilege, the opportunity, after he had been sick, then he became well.
Yes.
Maybe lackadaisic attitude, postponing, I'll fast, I'll pay back. Then he couldn't pay back until he died.
Yes.
Then his family members. We'll have to pay.
Or we'll have to feed. It depends on the
cost,
because there are some causes.
Causes
that will say, okay, there are some reasons that will make someone to do feed here.
Exactly.
Some reasons that will say, okay, you have to pay back.
Mashallah.
Just like a traveler. Whoever that is on travel or is sick, he should pay back after the month of Ramadan. Now, this is a traveler. A traveler is still on traveling till after Ramadan, and he has not got back home till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his life. So is there anything on him or her? No. Because the reason, the cause of not fasting the month of Ramadan is still persisting. So there's nothing for him or for her to do.
MashaAllah. So dear brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sister. There is nothing for you to do. You don't need to do any fidya. You don't need to do any payback on behalf of your wife, your dead wife. Just keep praying for her and pray for yourself. May Allah accept our supplication. Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh. If you are still joining us, it's questions and answers regarding Ramadan. We are with our Fadila to Sheikh Al-Imam Saeed Hamza Abu Lubaba. I would like to take the question of our brother Sharif before I go on to taking those other questions that have been sent earlier. This brother is asking, is it a must to pray first Tarawih before fasting? So, you know, it is very common actually that, for example, the moon has been sighted on Tuesday. It's going to be 29th of Sha'ban on Tuesday. So in the evening, if it is announced that the moon has been sighted, maybe around 9 p.m. that Tuesday, can we just call the people and say, let us do Tarawih? Is it compulsory? Do we have to do that? Or wait until the following day and begin fasting?
Alhamdulillah. Once it is announced that the moon has been sighted, then we begin the commencement of everything that has to do with Ramadan, including the Tarawih.
MashaAllah.
But if the moon has not been sighted, no, the following day may be either Ramadan or still Shaban.
Exactly.
That is Yamushak.
Ashak.
And Yamushak, there is no any fasting. So far, there is no any fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So also, there is no any observance of Salat Tarawih.
No,
we have some scholars that will say, no. Even one of that Salat Tarawih, no problem.
Okay.
What we need to understand about Salat Tarawih is that, you know, everything in Islam has its rules and regulations.
Now,
so Salat Tarawih is sunnah. It is not wajib. It is not compulsory. Mm-hmm. But it's recommended. It is recommended.
MashaAllah.
In the sense that you can observe it in Jama'ah, in congregation.
Okay.
Or we can observe it individually at various houses, various homes with your families.
Wow.
So then we should understand that Salat Tarawih does not stand to be a condition of fasting.
Okay.
That's one of the misconceptions of the people.
It's not a condition.
Not a condition.
Thing.
In fact, it has no any link
with fasting.
Fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is compulsory or it is a condition, it is a pillar, it has nothing to do.
So
it has its own on its own.
MashaAllah.
That is someone who fasts in the month of Ramadan and the person does not observe Salat Tarawih.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything affect the Salat?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, is fasting?
Fasting.
No. No. Our local imams will say that Agba we makashamu aware in meji. This whoever that fasts and does not observe the Salat Tarawih,
okay,
that is fasting is in the middle road.
Exactly.
So there's no any basis on this whatsoever.
Mm.
So it has its own rule,
okay,
its own regulation, it has its own reward.
MashaAllah.
Yes, as a Muslim, you don't allow any recommendation from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bypass you. You try to make all effort to pick up what you can attain from it. Yes,
MashaAllah.
So, but for you to abandon everything, no, say no. I don't. As a conscious Muslim, we observe Salat Tarawih, whether we try to make it in Jama'ah or we try to make it individually.
Mm.
But it has nothing to do with the validity of fasting. Just like the same thing with Sahur,
mm-hmm,
with Sari.
Now,
Sari is not, eating Sahur is not a condition for fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you eat Sahur or you don't eat Sahur, you have to fast.
MashaAllah.
Sahur does not say you have to eat Sahur. You have to fast. So you have to fast. That is compulsion, that is obligation on you, upon every individual Muslim, except those who are exempted.
No,
but
no.
In the case of someone that does not eat sahur,
okay,
if you have something like that, when you meet them in the morning, why are you not fasting?
Because of that,
so I'm not fasting. No, it is not a condition.
No.
Yes, it's not a condition. It is sunnah for you to eat sahur. In fact, recommended sunnah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa inna fi suhur baraka. There's a blessing in hating sahur. That is as some reward also.
Mm.
So that is why fasting does not begin when you eat sahur. No,
mm-hmm.
It does not begin when you eat
sahur.
Fasting begins when the the truth Fajr appears.
Yes, mashallah.
Can you see it now?
Mashallah.
So that is the condition.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it has to appear before you begin. Mm-hmm. And the sun has to set before you terminate.
Mm, mashallah.
What we have on this plan.
Okay, so these are independent ibadats.
Yes.
Okay, your brother Sharif, your question has been answered. The reward for Taraweeh is different from the reward of you fasting. Fasting is compulsory. The Taraweeh, it is good, it is sunnah. It's one of the ibadat recommended, as Sheikh said. Sahur, yes, one of the ibadat that we do to earn reward from Allah, so that we'll be able to fast. All of them, they are independent ibadat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. You can keep sending your questions to the comment section. Inshallah, we'll pick it up, and Sheikh is here to answer all our questions. Okay, this person said he is an asthma patient. And he uses inhaler, okay, so that he has been reading back and forth things on the internet about the ruling concerning using inhaler, and the asthma has actually not subsided. So Ramadan is approaching. What should he do? Should he continue using the inhaler?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. What I've read so far, as regards an inhaler for the asthmatic patient,
mm,
is that it does not invalidate the fasting.
MashaAllah.
The fasting is still valid.
Okay.
So if there's need for him or for her to use the inhaler, there's nothing wrong with fasting. One, inhaler does not have the food substance.
Okay.
Yes, just like passing here.
Mm, to free the hair
space. Yes, to free the hair space. Something that is blocked.
No.
Just to make it open.
No.
Just like when someone opens his mouth, where to blow in fan.
Okay.
That is it.
Yeah.
So that is what I've read so far.
So inhaler, our brother, inhaler does not invalidate your fast. You can use it as a patient. So there's no issue with that. It is just to free the hair space so that you can breathe well. Your breathing does not cease. May Allah make it easy. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Similar questions to that. The use of high drops. So people with high defects and issues, they recommend high drops. Can they also use it in Ramadan?
Naam, alhamdulillah, salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. You know, we only have just two passages for truth.
Now
that is mouth and the nose.
Okay.
So anything that enters into any one of these, anything, whether it's food substance or any other substance, fasting is broken.
It's broken. Okay.
That is why one should not deliberately put something. Even if one put just one sand,
okay,
into the nose.
And
it gets the throat, then you swallow it.
Okay.
The fasting is poor because the passage leaves the throat down to the stomach.
Exactly.
Just like this. So the ruling of nose,
mm-hmm,
and the mouth, they have the same ruling.
Okay.
Because they are passages for food to get in. Now, but aside these two places, anything that enters into any part of our body,
okay,
that we feel inside,
yes,
then it has to be considered whether that thing is food substance or not. If it's food substance, then the fasting breaks. But if it's not food substance, nothing affects the fasting.
Okay.
Something with the eye drop,
the eardrop,
yes. So even if one feels it in the throat,
yeah, because if you use some of these things in your ear, you feel bitterness,
yes,
in the throat,
yes, that it does not affect the fat. That's what the majority of the scholars have said. So if one can suspend it after the breaking of the fast at the sunset, that's the best. But does it invalidate the fast? No, the fast is still okay because it does not have any direct contact with it. It is not food.
It is not food.
You know, we eat through our mouth.
Exactly.
And the mouth and the nose, they have maybe put it in the outer look, but the inner look,
mm-hmm,
is from one place. So one can pass it the food. One can pass the food.
They pass through the same passage.
The scholars will say that if the thick phlegm, from your nose, get down to your to the behind part of your tongue,
okay,
then you have to pull it out.
Mm.
Any deliberate swallowing breaks the fast.
MashaAllah. Allah
break the fast. So using eye drop or the air drop does not invalidate the fast.
Jazakallah khairan. If you are still joining us, we are speaking with a Sheikh Abu Lubaba Sa'id Hamza, Hafizahullah wa Ra'ah. He has been dissecting questions, issues relating to Ramadan for us. Acquire the skill, the knowledge, the understanding before Ramadan begins, so that you don't start looking for fatwa hurriedly on the first day of Ramadan. May Allah make it easy for us and grant us knowledge and understanding. This person still on medication. I have a couple of questions on medication. He's talking about injections now, like he's receiving treatment, malaria treatment, and he was asked to take injections, so he feels he can still fast. Okay, but with the injection now, he's doubtful about his fast. Does injection break fasting?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Taking injection does not break fast. Yes, it does not. But if that injection has to do with the food supplement, it is the way of passing the food into the person.
Okay. Injection. All those nutritive injections.
Yes. That one, the broccoli.
Static injection, you feel you have eaten a plate of rice.
Yes. They break the fast. But malaria, for typhoid, it does not break the fat.
Okay,
it has no food supplement. So no problem with that.
Okay. A sister said, they go to work and, they have to maybe, she said she's the type that brushes, like, maybe she has mouth food, I don't know. She has a reason. She brushes like 3 to 4 times a day. That's what she said. Now, in Ramadan, how does she do? Can she still brush with her toothpaste?
Now, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. On the usage of using a toothbrush and toothpaste together, so, they also form the ruling of using siwak.
Okay.
Siwak. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended using this all the time.
Now,
all the time. In fact, there are more. There are 7 more emphatic periods that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged using of the siwak. So among them is before every salat.
Okay.
Then before every ablution.
Okay.
Scholar will say that, okay, it is when after washing the two hands, then you use the siwak before you continue with your ablution.
Okay.
So that means Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will always use siwak, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, whether in the night or in the day, anytime. Use siwak, and all the scholars agree that using siwak takes the ruling of using the toothbrush and toothpaste takes the ruling of siwak.
Okay,
so that means, so if one is fasting, there's nothing that stops him from using toothbrush and toothpaste together.
No,
nothing that stops him.
Mashallah.
But one needs to be careful, not only him, if he starts using siwak.
Okay.
The particles of the stick.
Yes.
Or she must prevent so that the particles will not get in and then they will not get swallowed. If they get swallowed deliberately, deliberation is the condition. If it is not by deliberation, there's no harm. So if by deliberation someone swallows the particles of the stick or the foams of the
toothpaste.
Yes, the fasten is broken.
Like, you just feel like it's almost getting, let me just let it go.
Yes, the fasten has broken. But if it wants to go itself and you prevent it and you throw it out, the fasten still remains valid. So using toothbrush or toothpaste, it has no any ruling than using siwak, and it has ruling of using any time of your convenient time. But it's so not to do that. So that's why I say that the scholars, they place the using of toothbrush and toothpaste on the ruling of siwak. Siwak. So if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged using siwak
then
before ablution,
before
salat, before reading the Quran, when you wake up before tahajjud, when you enter the first thing to do, do you get it now? So you're using siwak every time, then That means if one can use the toothbrush and toothpaste like that, yeah, they say the same thing, you will have the same reward.
Mm,
so whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, just make sure that nothing of this, whether the particles of the stick of the siwak or the foams,
the toothpaste.
Don't allow any one of them to get found by yourself
intentionally. Oh, so you don't have to, you have to be deliberate when you are brushing. You have to be very careful, not to allow anything to pass on through the throat down to the stomach. As if it is deliberate, then the fasting gets vitiated.
Yes.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Sheikh. I can see that Brother Sharif sent some couple of questions, and then about one or two of those questions have been answered, which is the siwak. Sheikh just answered now. Okay, and that is gone. Proper procedure for the commencement of Ramadan. That was the first thing we began with, Brother Sharif. Proper procedure for starting Ramadan. Maybe Sheikh will mention that again towards the end for those who actually came late, inshallah. So then, he's talking about if a kafir should accept Islam when Ramadan 10, is it binding upon him to repay the mitzvahs?
Now, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam. It is not binding. It's not binding. It's not even. It's none of his business. Yes, because we have the condition. The condition that compared to fast.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those conditions is Islam. Wherever that is not a Muslim, then it's not compared to fast. So I is going to query him on that. If it's fast, why be on the kufr state? Allah will not accept it. So a kafir becomes a Muslim in the view of Ramadan. Then the remaining days, when he becomes a Muslim, then become compelling him to fast.
He has to fast the rest.
He has to fast the rest. Okay. But those days that he
had not accepted Islam,
like
10 days for example,
will not pay them off.
So he should just abandon the
Sunnah. Allah will not. Yes.
Yeah, he's not responsible.
He's not responsible for that. He's not responsible. Then that's one. Then two, if he becomes a Muslim during the day,
okay,
for instance, like around Zohr,
okay,
he becomes a Muslim,
okay,
then the fasting of that day is not even compulsory on him.
If he becomes a Muslim
at Zohr,
okay,
because
so he should not do in fact.
He will do in fact in respect for the month.
In respect of it, he does not really have the fasting for that day.
No, and he's not going to pay off back
for
that day.
Okay.
Because the conditions for soundness of fasting was fulfilled before Fajr. And not only for someone that is a kafir.
Okay.
Even a young child that becomes matured.
Mashallah.
At noon. It's not compulsory on him to do that.
And he will not pay back.
And the previous days will not pay them after the month of Ramadan. So it will start from the following day. While it will do imsak.
Okay.
Yes, it will do imsak for the rest of the hours before the sun in order to respect the day.
Jazakumullah khairan. We have been listening to Sheikh Sa'id Hamza, Hafizahullah wa Ra'ah, for beautiful answers to questions being asked by viewers. Okay, so I'll ask one more question from Brother Sherry before I take the other brother's question. And he said that some people said Sahur ends at 5 a.m. Which Adhan exactly would make us to stop eating Sahur? The first Adhan or the second Adhan?
No, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. The Adhan that will make us to stop eating Sahur, that will inform us that the fasting has begun, is the Adhan when the true Fajr appears.
Okay, the true Fajr
appears.
Now,
yes, so not the any Adhan, whether first or second,
or whether it's not even called
Adhan. Whether not even called Adhan. So
they may not call Adhan at times.
Yes.
You may not hear it.
Once we are aware that the true Fajr appears,
okay,
then we have to stop eating, drinking, and everything that can invalidate our fasting. Even if the food It's in our hand, we have to drop it. In our mouth, we have to vomit it out.
Okay.
So far, you are certain. Once you are certain that, yes, the true value has appeared,
now
no one is allowed to do anything extra.
Oh, okay. So what we have in our mouth, we should...
You throw it out.
Throw it out. And we should not swallow it.
You can't swallow it. Swallowing is just, it's breaking of fasting.
Ah, okay.
If you swallow your own at the beginning, someone swallowing his own at the... around 10 years. It's the same.
So it says, the benediction that says, if you are eating your sahur, and
yes,
the azan is being called, meaning Fajr has appeared, mm-hmm, that it should complete your hajj.
Because you are not certain whether the Fajr appears.
Okay, just hear the azan.
Yes. There's no between hearing the azan and also be certain that the Fajr appears.
Mashallah.
So that's what Allah says in the Quran. وَكُلُوا
وَشِرَبُوا
حَتَّى
يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ.
So once the true Fajr appears, stop
now.
Everything. You have to stop.
Mashallah.
That's what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said.
Okay.
So the issue now is that, okay, are we okay with the azan of that mosque in our area?
Like
that azan? Yes.
That it is.
Are they reliable? If we know that they are not reliable, then, and they call the azan, so you can take your hajjah from the food.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so far you are not certain.
Okay.
According to that verse of the Quran,
mm-hmm,
that take your hajjah from it, then you keep aloof from that. It's
mm-hmm
your fasting.
Okay.
But if you are certain, and there are different ways to know that whether we are certain or not.
Okay.
Once we know that the muazzin here is reliable,
mm-hmm,
this mosque is a reliable mosque.
Yeah.
The muazzin is reliable.
Yeah, watchful of the time of Salah.
Once they call the azan for Fajr, Salah Khairul Minan, then you have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you have a gadget, like your phone,
okay,
that you rely on it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
If application. If you know that application is reliable,
mm-hmm,
once you hear Allah, you have to stop. Not only if no, you still calling Azan, right? Yeah, it's not finished.
Yeah,
something like that. They will not. Let me.
Yeah, the Muazzin is very slow.
It's very slow.
Until he finishes calling the Azan,
no,
he'll stop it.
No.
Mm-hmm. The moment you are sure that the Fajr Sadiq has appeared,
yes,
then so that means everybody, we need to be on the lookout, ask questions. When does Fajr Sadiq appear?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's why we keep asking our scholars in our community. When does it appear? Currently now, I think it's around 6:01 or 6 something.
Yes.
6:01. 6:01 currently. I don't know. Somebody prayed yesterday in my presence that, oh, well, when Ramadan comes, the Fajr should remain 6:01 so that they can eat till 6 o'clock probably, inshallah. It's been long that happened, though. May Allah make it easy for us. Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh Hania. Brother Sharif, I'll come back to two of your questions that are left here, or three. Let me quickly answer. Let us take the question of Brother Abdul Rafi Ibn Idris. He said, Jazakumullah khairan, Ustaz. He said, please, can someone taking drip during fasting, can he fast? He's taking drip. Does it vitiate his fasting? And secondly, can cigarette smoking, does it spoil fasting because it is gaseous? It is smoke, not gaseous. It is smoke. So does it break fasting? It's not drink. It's not food.
Nama, alhamdulillah, the modern scholars
now
have come to establish that taking drip breaks fasting.
Oh,
because we all know that it is a food supplement.
Food supplement.
It gives that energy. When someone is rushed to the hospital, they are giving the drip, so that the strength will be there.
Nah.
When someone is weak, we give giving the drip. So it is in form of taking food. So one should not take that while fasting. Should rather take, and should be taken after Maghrib.
Nah, mashallah.
Then on the issue of
cigarette,
smoking cigarette, does it break fast? Yes. It breaks fast because it is haram.
Okay.
Because it has a food supplement.
Oh, really?
It's not ordinary smoking like a firewood smoke. So because that is why those who smoke cigarettes, You don't go near the firewood smoke.
So they cannot just wrap up paper
no.
go to the firewood smoke and sniff it in.
No.
It is not possible.
That leaf,
it may cough to death.
Tobacco leaf. Tobacco leaf has food supplement.
Subhanallah.
Has food supplement. There are some people, when they take tobacco, they feel okay. Then they take water. They drink water.
No,
and that's the end of the day.
After taking this tobacco leaf, after smoking, they drink water.
Drink water. And they
So people enjoy it like they are taking food.
It's food. It's food. So it has food, so whether tobacco, whether it go, marijuana, all the things. There's one thing in Yemen too that people they put just like it's like a ball, like an head put in their mouth, a quart.
Okay.
It has the same ruling too.
Well,
so all those things should be avoided. Though they are haram, they are forbidden items.
It's ruling on them.
Yes, but they still break the fast. They still break the fast. So if one smokes cigarette, tobacco during the day of fasting, why fasting?
Okay.
Fasting is poor, not because he has taken haram.
Okay.
Yes, it's just because he has taken something that replaces food. But ordinary, the ordinary smoke, ordinary
firewood smoke that you're going to if it
does not affect the Iruku,
Okay. Yeah.
On the road. So
all those forms.
Sand dust.
Exactly.
It does not break fast.
Okay. So invariably, if your wife is cooking at home in the kitchen, you don't have to say, please close the door of the kitchen. Don't break my fast because of the odor of the jollof rice.
It doesn't affect.
Even if it's not deliberately.
Even if deliberately, it doesn't affect. It doesn't take away on hunger.
Hunger, exactly. Maybe it's good.
For someone that has the mental sadness, so it is not something that is good for someone who's not being
sniffing in the fragrance, jollof rice from somewhere.
The aroma,
it may even affect him.
Yes.
Okay, Jazakumullah Khairan, Sheikh. The question has been answered perfectly well for Brother Abdurrafi Idris. Back to the questions of Malam Sharif Jumala, he sent a couple of questions. So another question he sent is that the issue of can it break fast with the food of a non-Muslim? The food of a non-Muslim. Was it the one that asked that? Okay, he said, can someone eat the food of someone who is not the wife? Of one during Ramadan. She's not my wife and she cooked. Can I eat her food?
Alhamdulillah, no problem. If you want it. And there's not any illegal relationship in between you.
Between you. Yes. Okay.
If there's any illegal relationship between you.
Mm-hmm.
So that illegal makes that relationship to be haram. So the issue is not food.
It's not the food now.
The food now have the same ruling with that illegal relationship.
No.
So that food itself is not sinful.
Yeah.
So far it is lawful food.
Exactly.
Rice and beans. But so far you have a legal relationship with the person, which is haram. That will not make the food to be haram too.
To be haram for you.
For you.
Okay. So
but if there's no any the relationships of that nature, maybe it's someone that has given you the food, or you go to the shop to get it. The bucatera to get the food. So there's nothing wrong with that. Whether it's prepared by the Muslim or by the non-Muslim.
Mashallah, so a lot of people, they start talking about doing act in the car quickly with those they call their fiancés for 3, 4, 5 years. They have been dating. So when Ramadan is approaching, they keep asking, can I eat the food of my fiancé? The relationship is still haram until your relationship is solemnized.
Yes.
The act is done. May Allah make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Let me see. Okay, I think we can take 2 or 3 more questions, Sheikh.
Yeah.
Please. From the ones I have received before. Yes, this question is concerning that popular question. Actually, every year we receive this question. Every year.
Okay.
That's a question about breastfeeding mother.
Okay.
Okay, so what should she do? She's confused. She's breastfeeding 1 year, another year she's pregnant. what's the ruling on that? Should she do fidya and fast later, or just do fidya and it suffices?
Now, alhamdulillah, what we should know is that fasting in the month of Ramadan is an obligation upon every Muslim.
No.
And it is one of the pillars of Islam. In fact, it is only the fasting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon every one of us for being a Muslim.
Mm.
So it will not be fair for you that you are, you are bypassing, you are trying to circumvent one of the pillars of Islam through the excuse that that we can even override.
Mashallah.
Because we have some ladies like that,
mm-hmm.
when they get into marital journey, they've never tasted fasting in the month of Ramadan. They are pregnant or they are
breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. That is that. So this is not good. This is not good. That is one. Then two, we should understand that fasting and breastfeeding,
okay,
and pregnancy,
yeah,
they are not barriers to fasting.
They are not barriers to fasting. That the moment you are pregnant, automatically you abandon fasting.
Yes, that's something, sister. Why are you not fasting?
I'm pregnant.
Just like, why are you not fasting? I'm doing my menstrual period. That one is a barrier.
Yes.
So some are now placing pregnancy and breastfeeding as in the position of menstrual blood, postnatal bleeding.
SubhanAllah. They are giving them same
ruling. Why are you not fasting? I'm pregnant. Why are you not fasting? I'm breastfeeding. This is wrong. So breastfeeding does not say you should not fast. The same thing is a pregnancy.
Mm.
Okay. So you try it. But when you try it, in the course of making up the fast,
mm-hmm.
you discover that it's been difficult for you to continue.
Okay.
Continue on this.
Okay.
It lead to something harmful.
Mm.
Yes, something deadly or something that is troublesome. Then you leave it.
Mm.
So your own condition now has become someone that is either like a pregnant woman,
okay,
someone that either is afraid of losing his life,
okay,
the life of the baby,
okay,
he gets it now. So not ordinary pregnancy, not ordinary pregnancy. Ordinary pregnancy does not prevent someone from fasting. Yes, but if one is feeling the fast is being difficult for you,
okay,
why in pregnancy or you are breastfeeding, then you can break it.
Okay.
You get it now.
Okay.
We need to understand that.
Okay, so that's the first principle.
Yes.
Now, check, can you actually fast? Like, the ruling is you start fasting.
Mm-hmm.
If you now discover that you cannot actually bear it.
You drop it.
Okay.
Whether you are pregnant or you are breastfeeding, that is the same ruling.
Okay.
And not because I'm pregnant. Why are you not fasting? I'm pregnant. So as if pregnancy is part of menstrual bleeding.
Automatically you don't fast when you are menstruating. If you are pregnant, does not mean you should not fast.
Some yes.
people actually fast. I know people who fast until five, six months of their pregnancy.
Yes.
I know individuals.
No, there are some women that they do fast even when they are pregnant. They fast from Ramadan. The whole month of Ramadan. Some women like that, mothers like that, that they do. So, but some people are trying to dodge behind the pregnancy, behind the breastfeeding.
So,
that is what it is painful.
Mm.
Yes, don't forget, fasting the month of Ramadan is not like, it's a must. Yes, it's an individual obligation. It is not a kafara. It is not an expiation that you are trying to pay off of any offense that you commit. No.
Nah.
It is what makes you to be Muslim.
Allah.
So everyone is fasting as a pregnant woman or breastfeeding mother, then the fasting is proven difficult, then he will drop it, or she will drop it.
Now,
then what will she now do thereafter? That's another point of controversy. So some scholars had the opinion that yes, both of them should pay back after Ramadan. They should pay back after Ramadan. That is one.
Okay.
Some scholars said that they should pay back after Ramadan, and at the same time, they should feed the needy during Ramadan for those days missed.
Okay, they should feed the needy and
they will pay the
zakat.
Then where we have a third group, they said no. They should only feed the needy. And they should not
pay back.
So those who say that they should, there are some scholars that they try to make differentiation between the cause of that difficulty.
Okay.
Is it the mother is afraid of her life, or she is afraid of the life of the baby?
Okay.
So those, that is Hanabila. They said that if she is afraid of her life,
okay,
then that means she is going to pay back.
Mm.
But after pregnancy, she will pay back.
Yes.
Baby is no more there.
The life is secure now.
Secure now. She will pay back. But if it is for the baby,
yeah,
then she will do the feeding.
Mm.
So they try to separate the in between the two.
Mm.
But Wallahu A'lam, it's a very big controversy among but what I will only advise is this: if you are pregnant or you are breastfeeding, don't try to circumvent, don't try to dodge the fasting the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
You are now 20 years in your marital life.
Wallahi.
You've never tasted fasting.
It's very bad.
So don't you see that something is missing in your life, in your iman, in your heart? So don't try to circumvent, don't try to dodge it. That is one. Then two, if the fasting is difficult for you, you stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kill yourself. Fasting in the mother from that is not for death,
mm-hmm,
penalty. Mm. It's not for punishment. Mm-hmm. So you break it, you stop it.
Now,
then what you now do with the rest of the days that you missed,
mm-hmm,
or the days you missed, what you do is, if you know you can pay off after Ramadan, pay off. To be on the safer side.
Okay.
Yes. But if you know that you cannot pay up,
mm-hmm,
after Ramadan,
no,
to the level that knows that some people like that, that you know, to pay up a day in Ramadan, after Ramadan, that if you ask them to pay for 1 year.
Yes, because you see yourself as the only one who has
nothing
in the house.
Hey.
Like,
so it's better for such a person to do what, to feed.
Mm.
To see the needy, so
okay.
Allah, Allah. Okay. Same ruling goes to breastfeeding. So don't try to dodge it. Try to make up. If Alhamdulillah, Allah preserve us for this Ramadan.
I mean.
So try as a breastfeeding mother or pregnant woman,
mm-hmm,
mother, try to fast.
Mm.
If it's a day, if it's 2 days, if it's 1 week, if it's half of it, fast. Then nothing will happen to you. And that does not mean that the milk will not come out from your breast,
mm-hmm,
to give your cheek for your baby. No.
Mm. Actually, women, you know, it boils down to the fact that how much of conviction and interest and how much of knowledge does she know about the importance of fasting the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Some women who plan themselves very well about how the child is going to breastfeed. They are breastfeeding, and she will just be putting up a timetable that, okay, I'll make sure I breastfeed her very, very well in the morning before Fajr.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, and you know, I will make her to sleep, make the baby sleep from one time to another time. I will have another, you know, alternative food for the child at one point in time. You know, they see how they manage themselves. They still breastfeed maybe two more times, you know, during the day.
Yeah.
Until the evening. So some people have, I know people who plan like that, and they are able to achieve it, and they have fasted throughout the month of Ramadan. So, you know, people really need to fear Allah,
mm-hmm,
and just like Sheikh said, it is an ibadah that is compulsory upon every individual. If you want to put up an excuse, make sure your excuse is truly genuine and something that can affect your life. If it's not going to affect your life in any way or the life of a baby, then you don't have any excuse before Allah to dodge the fasting. We have gone really, really far, and I think we should be wrapping it up now. We want to say Jazakum Allah Khairan to our Sheikh, Al-Imam Al-Oyawi, Fadila to Sheikh, Saeed Hamza Abu Lubaba. He has been very, very patient with us and answering questions from different angles relating to issues of Ramadan. You know, one of the things the scholars have said that we should means of preparing for Ramadan. They said you should learn about Ramadan. What we have done today is gathering knowledge that will help us not to start giving flimsy excuses when Ramadan actually appears. So we pray for Allah to reward our Sheikh abundantly. He's Fadila to Sheikh, the owner, the founder, and the director of Ibn Hamzat Islamic Center. Ibn Hamzat Islamic Center is a very great center in our society today. If you want to follow him on his YouTube, you just go to Ibn Hamzat Islamic Center on YouTube. You have all videos, tafsir, fiqh, you know, aqidah. You have them on his YouTube page. You also have them on the Facebook as well. Ibn Hamzat Islamic Foundation, Islamic Center. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Sheikh abundantly. The center actually does more than what we know here, more than what we know. At least I am aware that during Ramadan, a lot of us, we get, you know, a lot of goodies, spaghetti, you know, food stuff from Ibn Hamza Islamic Center. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Sheikh and Center. It's really doing great for the Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate its status in society. Allahumma ameen. Yeah, people are saying Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you. They are greeting you, Sheikh, and they are really appreciative.
Jazakumullah khairan.
I mean, for answering all those questions. Inshallah, we are going to be wrapping up now, and more videos will be uploaded on the page of Deen Academy. This live broadcast was supposed to take place on the page of Deen Academy, but due to some technical issues, we could not do that. That is exactly why we did it on this page here. But inshallah, more videos will be uploaded on Deen Academy platform, bi-ibnillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and grant us success. May you reward us abundantly. Sheikh, do we have any final thing, advice for the people before we say subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. I only implore my brothers and sisters, my brothers and my mothers and my co-mates to always use the opportunity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should give us this month of Ramadan. We use the opportunity to move close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to preserve our life to witness this Ramadan. So this Ramadan of 1447, you know, may Allah preserve our life to witness it and beyond. You know, when we fasted last year, it will be the prayer that we made to Allah. And you can see that the prayer is accepted. I'm wanting to be fully accepted so that we can witness the month. So if Allah has preserved this our life to witness the month of Ramadan, we should use the month judiciously. Yes, in involving in many meritorious activities that we can do that are rewardable. No, it is a month of reward, month of blessing. It's a month of activity. It's a month of act of worship. You know, there's no end act of worship. So difficult it is. It is easy in the month of Ramadan. And there's no any sin now. So easy to perpetrate. It is difficult in the month of Ramadan. So that shows that what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِحَتِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ.
Now,
when the Ramadan comes in, all the doors of the paradise will be made open, while the gates of the hellfire will be made closed, while the soldiers of Shaitan will be shackled down. That means it is true. Yes, because we experience it. So that is why no matter how tedious or difficult is a righteousness in the month of Ramadan, it is easy for people to do. Like spending, like involving in salat, like assisting others, by keeping their mouth, except when it is necessary for them to talk. That's keeping themselves away in vulgar talks, in evil acts. Name it. It is the month of Ramadan. And every act of things is easy for people to do. So if we are opportune to witness this Ramadan, we should also make a judicious use of that opportunity. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it from every one of us.
Amen.
Then we should try also to run away from innovations. Innovations, you know, things that are not permitted or that are not legislated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we have been preserving our act of worship from innovations. So Ramadan is not exempted. Then we try to attain the classes of knowledge. Yes, classes of knowledge, tafsir, different class, different lectures, public lectures. When you have the time, just try to start from those gatherings.
No.
Some people will say that when Ramadan enters, it's all classes of knowledge and they face only the reading of the Quran.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it will be okay if you understand the communication of the Quran.
Okay. But you already know the meaning.
You just kill yourself reading the Quran.
Mm.
But someone that who does not even understand what the Quran is saying, and you ask the person to kill himself with reading the Quran, not knowing that if he listens to the tafsir of those verses that he's reading, the evil things in his hand will be dropped during Ramadan.
Exactly.
And Ramadan will ask us to drop things that we cannot drop before Ramadan. So if one is, he cannot understand the communication of the Quran, then that means he or she should make effort to partake in those gatherings of tafsir or different lectures organized by Sunni scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our life and make it an opportunity for us to witness this Ramadan and beyond.
Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykhana, for that golden advice. If you want to get the audio file of this presentation, the questions and answers, to forward to other people who could not participate physically and online, so you can check Ibn Hamzat Islamic Center on Telegram. You have the audio, inshallah. Ibn Hamza Islamic Center on Telegram, you have the audio dropped there, bi-ibnillah. Because you know what Mr. Zuckerberg is currently doing now? This video is going to be wiped off Facebook after 30 days or so. So we'll try to download it and re-upload, inshallah, on Gain Academy platform as well. And we'll try as much as possible to share the recorded audio as well, bi-ibnillah. May Allah make it easy. Jazakumullah khairan, brothers and sisters, for your participation, for all your questions, for your likes, for your follows. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. I will say subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.